News, sports, weather from Dr. Bill Williams, traffic info from Kane, and one of the Gulf Coast's most familiar voices. It's Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Arwig.
All right. Good morning, FM Talk 106.5. 7 minutes after 8 o'clock, this portion of Mobile Mornings is brought to you by Brian Bank, because tomorrow morning at this time, Brian Bank will bring you a great feature, Football Fridays with Paul Feinbaum on FM Talk 106.5. We do that every Friday morning, so if you're looking for a personalized banking experience and you don't want to feel like you're just another number, you know, just a number in that system, what you need to do, make the switch to Brian Bank. At Brian Bank, they focus solely on you. You have direct access to a banker. Imagine that, a banker that will work with you, work to understand who you are, where you're going, and how they can meet your financial needs. Brian Bank offers standard banking services such as personal and business loans, checking and investment accounts, and treasury management services. And, hey, look, if you're looking to purchase a home, or maybe to refinance, Brian Bank's experienced team of mortgage lenders are ready to serve you. Meet the team or apply for a loan online if you like by visiting brianbank.com/mortgage. Branch is located in Daphne and Foley and Orange Beach and, of course, Airport Boulevard right here in Mobile. So whatever branch closest to you, get on by there. The Brian Bankers are always friendly and ready to serve you. Brian Bank, equal housing lender, NMLS 582-857.
So lots of things to talk about this morning, and I would encourage you to get online, either the text line or phone line, 343-0106. Actually, let me rephrase that.
Okay.
251-343-0106, because the area code thing went into effect, I believe, Saturday.
Okay.
And, you know, we dial so many numbers here at the radio station, and we've got them all memorized, but time and time again, I've heard the person on the other end of the line, the robot, say, you got to dial that area code. So 251 is what you got to dial.
Pretty aggressive operator too, because Sean just tried to call Captain Bobby, and heard the operator said, "Hey Jack, you got it all wrong. See,
you know, is it Biden? Biden on the other end there?
Biden is the operator telling you, please dial the area code.
Yeah, exactly. So I want to talk. We'll have Dale Leash coming on at 8:30 this morning to talk about all things Lanyap and what they have in the new issue,
including an article by Rob Holbert.
Yeah, he's
talking about it was not my time. He was in a very serious boating accident, and somehow he survived it. Then, as you read along, you can see that he was first concerned that he was not going to live. Then he was concerned because they had help there right away from Keesler Air Force Base. They were in Back Bay Biloxi. So luckily, their location left him close enough to help where they were there in a flash. Then he was worried not so much about losing his life, but maybe losing his leg. And neither of those happened. So good news for Rob, you know, out of a bad situation. So we'll talk more to Dale about that and a lot more in Lanyap this morning.
Yeah, so fortunate that he's still with us.
Yeah.
And also, we want to talk about the Austell vaccine mandates. But first, Dan, I think we've got to address the biggest story that's been on air this morning, and that's this fella over in Baldwin County who did not return his rental car on time. You and I have been, I mean, I'll make no bones about it, we've been making fun of this all morning long.
Well, yeah, we not as much on the air.
Yeah.
I think I blew it out last hour. But, yeah, to think that that's one of the big stories of the morning, it's like, I don't really think it is. So anyway, the guy rents a car. Well, have you got the complete story in front of you?
Yeah, so a guy's name, Ben Cook, and he was arrested. Daphne police said he rented a vehicle from Enterprise Rent-A-Car and never returned it. He was charged with theft by fraudulent leasing.
But, like, how late was it with returning the car?
That's a big question, right? They said they saw him on Tuesday driving around Gulf Shores. He apparently is from Bon Secours and was booked into jail yesterday morning. Did he? I mean, first off, this was in the WKRG's top stories, which, I mean, you go from a guy murdered at a Family Dollar in Mobile to this fella forgot to return the rental car. That can't be like a rare occurrence, right? I mean, and isn't that how these companies make their big bucks? I mean, you're already paying a lot to rent the car, but the people who don't return on time, don't they get charged with, like, extras and interest? You'd think they would want people to forget to return the car so they could just charge them out the butt.
So Sean was saying, you were saying also they found a late Blockbuster rental in the car with him, and Sean said an overdue library book, A Catcher in the Rye, that he'd only gotten through 12 pages from where the bookmark was. So, Yeah, I remember that they used to be really sticklers on this. Mm-hmm. Like, you have to be back at this time. I don't know if they're as tough on that as they were, but like 8 in the morning. If you rented at 8 in the morning, you need to be back at 8 in the morning, right, whenever it's due back. No ifs, ands, or buts is the way I remember that. It was really punitive. I remember that I would stress about getting it back to the airport usually, right, in time, because that overcharges were massive.
Mm-hmm.
So aside from sitting the night in jail, depending how long this guy decided to just keep the car,
yeah,
what's that total going to look like?
How many great excuses could he have come up with? Like, I just wanted to return it with a full tank. I was trying to find a gas station to fill that bad boy up.
You know, maybe just like, rental agreements is just, it's like one of his personal blind spots. Like, I don't understand leasing agreements. Give me a break.
Yeah.
So, and then I like that he took a drive down to the beach and was just hanging out,
Yeah.
I just wanted to catch a little sun. Yeah. I'm not a criminal. No, you just need to return the car on time. So I don't know, let's look at this. We're a news talk station. Would he be available for an interview?
That's a great question.
Opportunity to clear his name.
Yeah.
On Mobile Mornings.
Yeah.
I don't see why not.
You mentioned his mugshot. He kind of just looked confused.
I read the story. I look at the mugshot, and it just looks like a guy who's been asked a difficult question on Jeopardy. He just looks like he's not a perpetual state of confusion, but certainly when they snapped it, he was a bit confused.
Yes.
And there's our rental story.
I only hope that they allow journalists in the courtroom when he sees his day in court, what the judge has to say about all that. By the way, Brian, check again here. Our rental car go-to, apparently.
Okay.
He says, I worked for a rental car company. It's a lot worse than you think. We have repossessed at least 30 rental cars this year because people will not return them.
Wow.
We actually had to report about 4 people to the police for unreturned rental cars this year. The people who don't return the rental cars don't usually have money to pay for it 90% of the time. So that actually makes sense. Brian, if you could text us back, what are the times? Yeah, how long do you wait until you go to police for that?
You know, the other thing about rental cars, I learned this when last year, Sally, I think a pretty well-documented accident I had on the way to work when this tree was across Museum Drive, and it totaled our truck.
Yeah, it jumped out in front of you.
It was right there. I should have seen it, but, it was literally in the middle of a hurricane, so I didn't see it till it was too late. But once you rent a car, like from Enterprise, which immediately had to do something, right, they're on you trying to sell you a car.
Mm-hmm.
I don't blame them. I'm just saying they now know you're down a car. They have inside information.
Yeah.
Like that car, that truck in that case, is not coming back anytime soon.
Right.
So once the cars are done being, they take their fleet, and I think they have one right here on the Beltline. They've got an Enterprise car lot where you can buy a car from Enterprise. And I just noticed that they were on me like that, trying to sell me a car. They didn't win the sweepstakes, but they were very aggressive.
Well, all I can say is I'm sure the people of Baldwin County are thankful that this guy is behind bars now.
He's off the streets.
He's off the streets. That's all you can ask.
The guy that would not return his rental car and went to Gulf Shores instead to get a little sun is now off the streets and interview pending.
Yeah.
I'm not guaranteeing we can get him on the air, but why not?
And last bit on this, and then we'll get into the vaccine mandate stuff. Brian says it's usually a 30-day period before they get police involved. So
really?
They gave him a month. And they found him in Gulf Shores.
Just driving around with the rental car. I mean, in a month's time, at that point, you've done something wrong.
Yeah.
Right? It's got to occur to you.
Now on to some real news.
Yeah, real news about Austral. And, just Googling Austral, I saw something pretty interesting. We'll have that conversation on the way on Mobile Mornings.
Thanks, Kane. 820 FM Talk 106.5. Yeah, that looks like a major, major slowdown on I-10 eastbound. And wreck moved off to the right median now.
Wouldn't you love when the governor was in town? 2 days ago, was it?
That's right.
And if she talked with the Chamber of Commerce members, some sort of special, you had to be an insider, I think, to get into that one, I suppose. And then she had a meeting in Spanish Fort, if she did. And she's on the Bayway for 4 hours.
Oh, that would be...
That would be glorious.
You think that would change your mind? I don't know. I'm not sure.
It wouldn't change her mind and just tick her off. I mean, you know, let her be as mad as we are. That's all I'm saying. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's not going to change her mind, but let her just sit there and stew a while in her pantsuit.
Yeah. Hey, this segment of the show brought to you by our good friends over at 1-800-GOT-JUNK, Trey Bennett and the crew, Mobilians, who have been doing fantastic work in both Mobile and Baldwin County for over a decade now. And, well, if you're wondering what they do at 1-800-GOT-JUNK, it's right there in the name. They make junk disappear. A one customer, Patricia, had a glowing review for 1-800-GOT-JUNK. She said, they responded quickly to me, to my request for help. I needed an old shed removed. We met to appraise my problem and made a plan to demolish and remove the shed. They confirmed the day, and when I got home, the shed was gone. They even sent me a picture after they were done. Clean. All debris gone. So nice. Couldn't ask for better.
And did the same thing for me.
They did the same.
Yeah, I had it was a shed issue and moving, and I was flying out of town doing all kinds of stuff going on, and I talked to them from the airport and had a conversation with them. They were heading to my house. I was hopping on a plane, so that conversation was going to be over with. Like, I got to go. Mm. They took care of everything.
That is service.
Yeah.
That's what you'll get when you call 1-800-GOT-JUNK or go online, 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com. The pricing is up front. What they quote you is what you'll pay. Pickup is as convenient as it gets, and they dispose of the junk responsibly. So give them a call today, 1-800-GOT-JUNK.
At Enterprise Rent-A-Car, we listen.
And we've been listening for more than 55 years.
They're listening for the guy to pull up in the car he rented 30 days ago. That's what they're listening for.
I'm picking you up when you need to rent a car.
Yeah. Okay, so the guy, anyway, this is the end. That's the end of the Enterprise story, but I just thought I'd throw that in there. We will try
We're
to
watching you. That's what they say in the
Enterprise Rent-A-Car. We got some real dodos out there that will rent for 2 days and take it for 30, and then we get the police involved.
So yesterday was the big day for employees at Austal. They had to either get their first COVID vaccination shot, or they were supposed to make their way out and no longer work for Austal. And I guess that I was reading yesterday that so the deadline was Wednesday, and from what I was reading, they had the opportunity to tell HR that they needed an extra 2 days, so through Friday of this week. But I'm not sure how all of that went down, because we've had people texting us this morning, and in a story from WKRG News 5 with Dana Winter, that there were badges being turned over yesterday afternoon at the end of a shift. From Dana's story, she said several Austal employees walked out of the building on Wednesday for what could be the possibly be the last time employees had until yesterday to either get the COVID vaccine or face termination. She spoke with Michael Crenshaw, who says he's worked at Austal for 9 years. He said there was quite a few people that actually left today early. There were quite a few that stayed until the end of the day, like we were told. You're terminated at the end of your shift today. He said that was at 2:30 p.m. Crenshaw said he accepted the termination, but that he was never given the proper paperwork. He said, I was given a text message yesterday saying I could come in today to HR and receive my termination papers, and I was being terminated in good standing, but I was being terminated because of the COVID vaccine mandate. I went in today to get the paperwork. I was told they had no paperwork. And after a little bit of discussion, I was also told, oh, wait a minute, the text we sent you yesterday is going to be considered your termination papers. And Dana says the meeting didn't end there. It took another turn. Crenshaw said they went on from there and asked me to clock out and turn my badge over to my supervisor, which basically means I'm quitting. And I'm not quitting. I'm getting fired for not getting a vaccine, which I think is ridiculous. He said, but it doesn't matter. He said he also tried filing for a medical exemption, but was denied. And he said they basically did a blanket statement. We're not going to accept any of them. So yesterday was cutting day at Austal, apparently. And we've been talking with people on the text line who work with Austal, and won't give out any names here unless they ask us to. But one guy we've been talking to for a while now said this morning, Austal employees were escorted off property and had their badges confiscated yesterday. A number of employees were denied entry to the property this morning and had badges confiscated. The total number of employees affected is unknown at this time.
So is it because they're a federal contractor, or because they have well over 100 employees?
Yeah,
or is it both? You know, they're guilty on both. You got to get the vaccine because of either one.
Might be a double whammy there.
All right, so I Google Austal just to kind of get to a news story, and this headline probably says it all. Biden, of course, is behind these mandates. A lot of people don't think they're fair. Most everybody thinks, you know, even people who got vaccinated. I've gotten two shots, and I'm looking for a third of the booster. you know, say what you will. But at the same time, I certainly understand people's frustration with this mandate, right? And so I'm looking for a story or an angle. This is a story from 3 weeks ago, but it says it all, Dalton. Navy issues $144 million award to Austal USA to build yard's first steel ships. Austal doesn't want to tick off the White House.
Right.
Austal wants to, corporately, they're like, they're how we're alive and well
it's
in the
big
United
money.
States. It's big money. It's all the money. And so they have no choice but to go along with the mandate being instructed by the White House and this administration with all these millions and millions and hundreds of millions of dollars in contracts with the federal government.
Yeah, and I'm interested to see how this plays out with those contracts. And if the numbers are as large as we've heard, that there are or were around 800 employees didn't get vaccinated. And, you know, I heard one number that there were around 4,000 employees at Austal. Yeah. Also heard maybe 3,100. So let's just say anywhere from 3,100 to 4,500 employees. I think that's a pretty safe window there. 800 of either of those numbers is a large portion.
It's a big part of the workforce. Say it's a fourth. Say you go to work at Austal today, and a fourth of the people that would normally be there, I guess you've got shift work, so the way it would work, but a fourth of your cohorts, so the fourth of the people that are there doing something, are not on the job. That's a big problem.
Right.
That's a huge staffing problem. How quickly do you replace everybody? And how quickly are you able to, people that, you know, how quick, you can replace a body, but can you replace somebody to actually do that job? I don't know. Hit us on the text line if you work at Austal and let us know what you think about Austal. And also, let us know if you work at Austal and you've been vaccinated. We'd love to hear from you, too. Mm-hmm. Like, what's the going on? What's the conversation right now with people on the job that have been vaccinated and remained on the job, now understanding that everybody else is gone?
Yeah, and, you know, there's been stories like this already, and we're making a big deal about Austal because it seems like it's, well, first off, it's a huge company and means a lot to the economy of our area, but it's kind of like the first domino, or at least the first big domino, to fall in our neck of the woods, because we've seen these airline stories, and we've seen, you know, police departments across the country starting to enforce these mandates. Will a strike or will just not having these people available get to these companies to the point where they say, listen, whoa, we stepped into a hornet's nest here. And we saw it already with, I believe, Southwest Airlines, although we still haven't gotten a completely, you know, clean story on what happened when Southwest, they went, a week and a half where they were having some major issues.
Yeah.
They kept saying that it wasn't because of a strike from the pilots due to the vaccine mandate. But then all of a sudden, a week later, you know, things began to change, and you started hearing stories from the pilots.
What was really going on?
United Airlines said they're losing $1.5 million a week because of unvaccinated pilots. Now, with their story, you know, they were initially going to have United, these unvaccinated people, on unpaid leave. Mm-hmm. A judge stepped in and said, you can't do that. So they are on paid leave instead. They said it's because employees at United didn't want to be around the unvaccinated, didn't want to work alongside them. Is it like that at Austal? Do you think the people that have been vaccinated at Austal would say, I don't want to work with him or her? They're not vaccinated. I don't feel like it'd be the same.
No, I think you can roll out that narrative and try and sell it. I doubt. Look, so not everybody here, I don't know. We've got a pretty small workforce here, but I don't even know if everybody's vaccinated in this building. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Do you care?
I don't care. Because I've been vaccinated. Isn't that the whole point?
Right.
It's supposed to work for me. So, yeah, I don't think there's this big uprising of the enlightened people who were vaccinated. They're saying, I don't want that dirty son of a gun next to me.
Vince asks, is Ingalls doing the same thing? They also have government contracts. We'll check in on that.
Airbus,
what about them? FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings rolls on. It's Thursday, everyone. That means tonight, join us for Tiger Talk Overtime.
Yeah, big time there. Celeste's going to be there. Chuck, the friendly engineer, on hand. Lauren Cavanis, of course, most people know, former Miss Arkansas.
Mm-hmm.
Georgia Broadcaster of the Year, Lee Baby, will be in the house. There is some talk that John Bigler by bicycle could possibly show up.
Wow. Wow.
Sean's boy?
Yeah.
He might bicycle over. The traffic's not great at University in Old Shell. I would say please wear a helmet. But soon he's going to debut that show, that kid show that he wants to have on Saturday mornings.
Yeah, that'll be good. And then long after, I'll be out of a job. He'll be doing the morning show.
There's some stuff we could kick out on Saturday morning. So John Bigler and his broadcasting career, when that gets underway, that's going to be awesome.
Yeah.
The Austell texts are rolling in.
Yeah, and we'll talk with Dale Lanyap here in just a minute. I want to get to some of these texts because we got a bunch of them. Phil said, to all the employees who might be let go, Alabama is a one-party state, meaning you can record your conversation with someone else as long as one person of the party is aware, meaning you. Is that true? He said, I would keep my phone in my pocket with a button ready as I see several companies trying to pull what Austell did and try to get out of unemployment or anything else they owe the employees under fired versus quit. Another texter who doesn't have Facebook, that's his texting name, said, you can't replace those people. They're hiring every day and can't fill all the roles. Good luck making money with less production.
How about this? The people who have already had COVID, that's more immunity than those who are vaxxed. Why is nobody talking about this? That gets lost in the conversation a lot, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does.
I mean, okay, you're not vaxxed. You've decided you don't want to get the vaccine. Have you had COVID? If you have, but according to the science, you're pretty much good to go, aren't you?
That's what I've heard and that's what I've read. And you'd think antibodies tests would be a little more readily available and used more often, but that's not the case.
No, that's not what they, you know, obviously the government, federal government and this administration wants to get everybody get the vaccine in about as many arms as they can. Period.
Speaking of which, Dale Leash with Lanyap wrote a story about vaccine mandate this week. And as Governor Ivey rolled out her executive order, which, you know, if you listen to this station much, it didn't do a whole lot to actually change the direction of things. Basically just meant that if you were in the executive branch that you didn't have to get vaccinated or something along those lines.
Yeah.
But at the same time she was making those announcements, you had University of Alabama, you had Auburn, and even USA who were going through with the vaccine mandates. And Dale wrote a little bit about USA this week. Hey, Dale, good morning.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Doing just fine.
Doing all right. So,
great.
Auburn and Bama, they get the headlines, but we have a pretty big university down here in our neck of the woods at USA, and they've got a vaccine mandate rolling along as well.
They do. Employees will have to be vaccinated by the December 8th deadline of the other colleges that you've heard about. I got this information the same day as Ivy's executive order came out, and it came about just because I was curious. I hadn't heard from USA about a vaccine mandate. I figured they were in the same boat as Auburn and Alabama, so I asked, and lo and behold, they did come up with a mandate that they were going to push as well. And I want to get into this a little bit because I think the consensus is correct on the Ivy executive order, and it's that it's sort of toothless, right?
Right.
I think we had Jeff Poore write a column in our paper basically saying that it was a political move to kind of put the focus on redistricting for the special session and leave sort of the idea of anti-vaccine mandates out of it. And so and I do want to give Ivy credit here. I think she's correct as well as, I mean, in the executive order, she says the courts are going to have to decide whether or not these mandates are constitutional. And she's right. Like, we could, you know, the legislature can write whatever law it wants, but if a court reverses it, it doesn't matter. So she's kind of right. I think the fight for this is going to be in the court system, and I think we're going to start to see those things play out. But another interesting fact, the reason I say that the executive order is kind of toothless is it only relates to folks that are under the auspices of the executive branch,
right?
the governor's office and offices like that. So you're only talking about state stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And in that and what makes, and while Auburn and Alabama are state schools, this is what was I found interesting about this, and I don't know about USA, but I don't think it's the same. Auburn and Alabama were put in to effect by the Constitution. They're in the Constitution, the state Constitution. They are not an executive branch. They are not an arm of the executive branch. So really, this executive order has no effect on, or they could argue that it has no effect on Auburn or Alabama. They could basically do whatever they wanted to as far as vaccine mandates.
Right.
It's a little bit different. It's a little bit different for USA, but I've been told because USA gets so much federal money that they're basically just going to ignore the executive order as well.
That's...
and just have everybody get vaccinated by December 8th.
Okay.
But that will set up a that has the opportunity to set up a court battle that Ivy was talking about.
So that's what, and we were just talking about this because I just was Googling Austell to find out more about the story about the mandate, and up pops a story from a couple weeks ago about a $144 million federal contract. I mean, basically, you've got these entities that are saying, we don't want to mess with the feds. We got to do what we got to do to cover our back because of all the money pouring in from the federal government.
And it seems that way with every single one of these stories. Yep. Now, whether the people in charge actually feel that a vaccine mandate is warranted or not.
That doesn't matter.
We're all on the government dime at this point. Yep. And I say we're all. But I mean some of these bigger institutions, and whether it's Austell or whether it's these universities or the state itself, worried about losing federal funding by not following through with this.
And, I mean, we're one of the states that has the highest level of federal funding, right? So that's a consideration, too. And then, like you said, you've got Austell, you've got other businesses that get federal contracts that are pretty much the only thing that they exist for.
Yep.
So they've really got to be on top of this thing.
Right. And then we haven't even gotten into some of these other companies that are such a big deal to us, whether it's Airbus or Ingalls, and I'm sure we'll hear more about those as we go on. But this is feels like the dominoes are beginning to fall, and a lot of people are, staying true to their word, at least the people we've heard from Austell who are willing to lose their jobs in the name of, not getting that vaccine. And I know Lanyap will continue to report on this all along the way.
Absolutely.
You had a busy week, though, and Tuesday was the final Mobile City Council meeting for three of the city council members, and you did a bit of a retrospective piece and talked a bit about Bess Rich and Fred Richardson and John Williams and their time on the council.
I did. I spoke to them before the meeting, just kind of got their thoughts. It's about what you'd expect. They talked about some of their accomplishments, and they talked about what they'd like to see going forward, and it was pretty interesting. I mean, John Williams. I'll start with John Williams. He's a big proponent, and I think a lot of people are of keeping the five vote supermajority rule in place, and he's not wrong about it in the fact that it does kind of force them to discuss and debate things that they maybe otherwise would have just been a rubber stamp. It kind of requires that the council come to some sort of consensus on most of the issues that it faces on a weekly basis. So he didn't want to see that go away, and he doesn't want to see the CIP go away. And I don't think outside of your very stringent and ardent tax. People that oppose taxes in general, outside of those folks, I think most people want to see the CIP. I mean, I know it's a sales tax and it gives us 10% sales tax, and that's kind of a pain, but they want to see the CIP remain in place. And John Williams, who I would have called one of those ardent, stringent anti-tax people, is also in favor of keeping the CIP going. So those were his two big things.
And Dale, there was at least one candidate running for city council this year, Tony Dugash, who wanted to see with the CIP, he wanted it to kind of go towards the areas that brought in the most sales tax rather than a flat distribution across the board. Has there been anyone in the city council or any new upcoming city council members who feel the same way, or does everyone seem to like the way it is right now?
Well, and here's the I'm glad you brought that up. Here's the rub with that, right? If you say I'm going to give more to District 6 and District 7 because mostly District 6, because that's where all the businesses are that Tony was talking about, and that's his district is District 6.
Mm-hmm.
If you put more money into District 6 where the newer infrastructure already exists, you're gonna get a lot of anger from folks. In my neck of the woods out in the east of I-65 that are like, we've got drainage issues. We've got streets that need to be repaved and stuff like this. And we've, downtown has issues with pipes under the surface. So, I mean, you're going to, that's the problem. I think there would be more people that would be for saying that because, I mean, they want as much money coming into their district as possible, but you've got six other people on that council that you've got to convince, or, well, I guess it would have to be four other people because you don't need you need five votes. You need to convince four other people that live in other districts that your district should get more because it brings in more tax money. And while that sounds good, and I hear what he's saying, realistically and politically, that's just not going to ever happen. So
right.
I think we're all going to stick with the across-the-board $3 million, you know, per year until something else happens.
Also, I was really interested to read the first article by Rob Hulbert after his accident on the boat, off the boat, I guess you could say. It wasn't his time is what it's all about, and thank God it wasn't, and thank God he survived it, and thank God his leg survived it as well. He talked about the emotions he was going through when the accident happened and what he was thinking that whole time. It's a very moving article.
It is. And he talks about, you know, the friends he was with that helped save his life,
mm-hmm.
get him to shore and all that good stuff. So I recommend you guys, everybody read that. It's a good account of what happened. We should be getting some good news about him being able to come home soon.
That's great news, so, Dale.
Yeah, yeah.
And let folks know, they want to read the newest Lanyap that's on stands now or sign up online like I have. How do they get that done?
Just go to lanyapmobile.com, click the prompt to subscribe. It's $1.50 a week for online subscription. An online subscription comes with a digital, like a PDF of the paper that you can flip through yourself.
Mm-hmm.
We also have it. We have it on at our. If you want to just get the paper, it's in the, you know, the purple boxes around town, and like I said, $1.50 a week for the digital subscription. If you want a paper subscription, I think it's $2 a week. So please support us. We're local. Our owners are local, and we would really appreciate the help.
And your owners are alive, thank God, huh?
Yeah.
Thank you, Dale. We'll talk soon. Okay.
Thank you. Bye.
All right. Dale Leash, Lanyap, lanyapmobile.com. And we'll wrap it up on the other side. Phone lines, stay there. We'll get to you here in just a second. 343-0106.
Also, let you know who Jeff Ford's got lined up on his show. It begins a little after 9. Back up westbound on the KIV Bayway. Imagine that. It's 8:53 at FM Talk 106.5.
Mobile Mornings brought to you by the experienced personal injury lawyers of Tobias McCormick and Comer. They serve Mobile and the surrounding areas with compassion and a spectacular track record of success for making things right for their clients. They work each client's case personally from start to finish. They don't hand your case over to another lawyer that you don't know at some other law firm. They've handled hundreds of personal injury cases in a combined 70 years of experience and have recovered over $45 million for their clients. Let them put their expertise to work for you at Tobias McCormick and Comer. And also, with Halloween coming up this weekend, they want to make sure everyone stays safe that's walking out there from house to house. Check out tmclawyers.com and click Safety Tips for Walkers. Maybe you want to email that or send it over to someone you know who is taking kids out this weekend and helping them be safe on the roads for Halloween.
He's going to be a guest on the Jeff Poor Show at 11 o'clock, and he's highly excitable. His name is Pete Ream. He joins us this morning. Pete, what's the word?
Good morning. It's highly excitable. I like that. How are you doing this morning?
Yeah, we're doing great. So we were talking about the Austell mandate and other vaccine mandates at companies around our area and the country, and you had some news for us, I guess.
Right. I just wanted to inform y'all that while too many people seem to just be giving up or acquiescing to losing our constitutional rights, a busload of patriots, Austell workers, Airbus workers, Tea Party people are loading up in Theodore and Spanish Fort this morning, and they are headed to Montgomery to make their voices known to the do-nothing governor and Alabama legislature.
Sounds good. So is it two buses in all, or are you picking up the people in Spanish Fort?
No, we got one bus.
Okay.
One stopping in Theodore and then going on to Spanish Fort. And, you know, the point they're trying to make is it's not about the vaccines, whether they work or not. It's about the mandate and your constitutional rights. And what's really annoying and what I find unconscionable, this is a a question of constitutional rights. This is a question of the citizens' rights. This is really a 10th Amendment question. This is the fight where our state should be protecting our rights, just like our motto, "We Dare Defend Our Rights." And the fight is here, and our governor and our legislature refuse to take up the fight to protect our rights. They refuse. They just sit there and go, "Oh, we'll let the poor workers fight this out, this battle with the their companies." And the only thing I can say about the companies, I don't understand why they're moving so fast, because
until December,
regulations
right?
are not out.
Yeah.
Pete, thanks a lot. We'll listen for you later on this morning on Jeff Poor's show.
Yeah, Pete will be on at 11. And then, of course, tonight, Common Sense Radio beginning at 8 o'clock, just after Tiger Talk Overtime.
Oh, man, Tiger Talk Overtime.
Pete Rehm, the 2020 Patriot of the Year there for you. Mm-hmm. Also on Jeff's show today, he'll lead off with Congressman Gary Palmer in the first segment of the show. Also, Alabama Daily News' Todd Stacey and former State Senator Dick Brubaker set to join the show today.
Sounds good. 8:57 at FM Talk 106.5 with Dan and Dalton, about to wrap it up.
So, you know, there's a lot of virtue signaling this week, especially from some MLB writers. I know Plaschke with the LA Times last week was going after the Braves, and then this week Bob Nightingale said he's no longer using the Braves nickname because of its reference, you know, to I guess Indians. And the Cleveland Indians earlier this year said they were changing their team name. Well, not so fast. There's apparently an Ohio roller derby team by the name of the Cleveland Guardians. See, that's what the baseball team was going to change their name to, the Guardians. So now the derby team has filed a federal lawsuit against the baseball team for trying to steal their name.
This happened in country. This happened in country music too.
Lady A.
Lady Antebellum.
Mm-hmm.
They were like, "Oh, we didn't realize that Antebellum meant the old South," so they changed it to Lady A, and a band in Seattle was like, "Hey, man,
that's us.
I know you. I know we're not. We haven't sold as many records as y'all, but you can't just snatch our name." So I don't know where they're at with it right now.
Well, I mean, I think they know when they file these lawsuits, they're not going to keep the name. They're just going to have it bought from them. And I think this is part of the negotiating process, is to send it to court, and then whether it's Lady Antebellum, the band formerly known as Lady Antebellum, or the soon-to-be Guardians, these other people are going to make big money just from having that name first. So, sorry for all you Ohio roller derby fans. You have to find a new name.
Oh, man. It's 8:59 FM Talk 106.5. Jeff Poor, we lined up his show so you know who's coming. That's all on the way a little after the news, which is a minute away on FM Talk 106.5.